Conference muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the presentation of Umicore results for the first half of this year. As some of you already have heard, Marc Grynberg is unfortunately unable to join us as he has a throat infection and lost his voice, which would be very annoying, I would think, especially in the Q&A. In line with our policy to protect and sweat our assets, we have advised him to recuperate at home. He sends his apologies and is looking forward to attending the roadshows next week. Our figures were released this morning, and I will now outline and comment on some of the most important elements included in these numbers. So recurring EBIT in the first half was almost 50 million euro, which is totally in line with the messages that we gave you back in April. The group generated significant cash flows. You saw the figures this morning, and Tim will provide some more color about the different business units. But let's first elaborate on the outlook for the balance of the year. We expect recurring EBIT for the second half of the year to be in the same magnitude as in the first half of the year. We go back and we look at the first half, we see that the first quarter was soft, as we discussed with you when we did the first quarter results announcement. The second quarter improved slightly, but not enough to really talk about a major upturn. What we will see in the second half is some of the same. The third quarter is generally soft due to the summer months, and it will only be in September that we will see the pickup after the summer. Now, we believe that a number of business units, especially the ones that are related to the electronic sector and more specifically the battery materials, will indeed improve in the second half. Some other business units, like the car industry and like the construction industry, have stabilized at a relatively low level. And there, the benefits will have to come from the restructuring that has been implemented recently and that will see its effect happen in the second half. We also see some lower performance in the precious metal refining business due to the slowdown of the arrivals of products in a number of the segments, and also a number of our high-priced locked-in contracts that are slowly winding down. So if we bring everything together, the recurring EBIT being at the same level than in the first half, to recapitulate a number of positive impacts, so improvements in a number of businesses, favorable impacts of restructuring in some other businesses, but on the other hand, the usual seasonal effect that makes the second half due to the summer vacations always a little bit slower, and some lower contribution of precious metal refining in the second half. Our outlook is based on the fact that we see right now no firm signs of a significant recovery taking shape in the second half. However, visibility remains very limited, even for the near term, and we should really wait until the summer slowdown has passed and the orders are picking up in September. So therefore, the third quarter results will give us a better idea of where we are headed for the rest of the year. To concentrate now on the first half. So against the challenging backdrop, what we have done is we have continued to adjust our capacity and cost base to the decreased demand. We've done that in line with the Umicore values in a responsible manner, and we have tried to do that as much as possible with temporary measures, which were sometimes not possible. So we have reduced our workforce, and we will talk a little bit later about that. We have also focused on our cash situation, and I'm happy to show you that we have generated 180 million euro of free cash flow. Obviously, part of that is due to the reduced level of business. However, also a very strong focus on working capital management has contributed to that. What this does, it allows us to continue to invest in our future through our investments and through our R&D efforts. It was indeed a very challenging business environment during the first half, and we saw unprecedented declines in production in a number of sectors, driven by low end-user demand and also destocking by manufacturers. Car production, for instance, was halved in the U.S. and in Japan, and 30% decreased year-on-year globally. PCs were down 14%, mobile telephones 7%, and the construction sector was down 20%. Also, the prices of precious metals and specialty metals are much lower than in the first part of 2008, which clearly influences our margins and the availability of certain types of secondary materials. Linking that, you will see that the major revenue decrease of 23% is truly the major contributor to the lower EBIT and return on capital employed. I will let Tim continue with the details on the different business units.
Thank you, Martin, and good morning, everybody. Starting, as we always do, with Advanced Materials, a segment which generated a small positive result in the first half, despite an overall decrease in revenues of some 25%. If we look first of all at the electro-optic materials business, our germanium-based business, this activity continued to perform very well, driven on the one hand by strong sales of infrared materials, and on the other hand by germanium substrates, both for satellite applications where we still see a steady demand, and for newer applications such as light-emitting diodes. The other businesses within advanced materials, in contrast, were affected very much by the economic downturn and the destocking throughout the value chain. In rechargeable batteries, we've received the first signs of some upturn in production at our customers and an uptick in orders, but it's too early to tell whether there's a fundamental recovery underway or what we're seeing is just an increase in the customer stock levels. In tool materials and abrasive applications, we were hit particularly hard by the economic downturn, and there we see no signs at all of any recovery yet. Element 6 abrasives, our associate there with De Beers, is going through a far-reaching restructuring program at present. Some of you may well have read the press release that was issued a week or so ago regarding the restructuring of its facility in Shannon in Ireland. Turning our attention then to precious metals products and catalysts, as we mentioned back in April, this segment back then had swung into an operating loss in the first quarter, and this is reflected in the figures that you see with an operating loss there of close to minus 10 million. In this segment, we serve the automotive, electronics, and construction industries, all of which, as Martin mentioned, suffered a significant decrease in production. If we look at the automotive industry in particular, car production around the world was down by 30% year on year, and our catalyst sales decreased in the same proportion, which indicates that our market share globally was by and large unchanged. Car sales are indeed improving in some regions, but this is driven primarily by government incentive programs, and excess inventories are still too high to justify any significant increase in production at the car manufacturers. In the first half, close to 25 million vehicles were produced. Most or some automotive analysts are forecasting full-year production in the order of 50 million, or maybe slightly above 50 million cars. But to put that in its correct context, that compares with 65 million vehicles, light-duty vehicles in 2008, and 68 million vehicles in 2007. So there's a long way to go before we reach those kind of levels again. The one bright spot, I guess, is China, where production increased by 11%, but there again, there were some external factors such as tax rebates, which boosted the demand. In the other businesses within precious metals products and catalysts, the situation was by and large similar, with demand in the near term in technical materials and jewelry and electroplating not showing any real recovery. What we should see though in the second half of this year is the effect of the restructuring measures that we've taken in precious metals products and catalysts starting to percolate down through to the bottom line. In precious metals services, we continue to generate very strong returns with a return on capital employed exceeding 60% in the first half, so an excellent performance, although it has to be said that we no longer benefited from what were very exuberant trading conditions in the same period of 2008 for our metals management operations. In terms of operating performance, in precious metals refining, so our operations in Hoboken here in Belgium, that was indeed excellent. But we did mention back in April that we did process a lot of secondary materials that we had received in the second half of 2008 and which had particularly attractive terms attached. As anticipated, if we look forward, arrivals have slowed down in certain supply segments, and this will certainly influence our processing rates in the second part of this year. And that's particularly the case, for instance, in precious metals containing residues in zinc, copper and lead refiners, many of which have reduced their production significantly. On one other supply material, spent automotive catalysts, there the supply already had started to dry up towards the end of 2008, and we started to feel the impact of this, and we don't see any particular change in that supply segment so far. Finally, looking at zinc specialties, this business segment achieved a solid return on capital employed of more than 14%, which, given the downturn in the construction sector particularly, represents a pretty outstanding performance. If we look at building products, there one of the reasons was the fact that we are more exposed to the renovation and non-residential segments as opposed to new build construction, and that was clearly to our benefit if you look at us compared with the overall market. It's also fair to say, and we should add, that many of the construction projects that were completed in the first half were engineered and financed at a time before the current credit crisis had hit, and there's somewhat more uncertainty in the construction sector to which we're exposed going forward. The deliveries of zinc chemical products were down on last year's levels for most applications, but on the other hand, the recycling activities continued to perform well, reflecting the margins that we'd secured at a time that market conditions and the zinc price were better. One thing we ought to add for this segment in terms of the second half is that results are typically lower in the second half due to the seasonality of sales, and this year shouldn't be any exception. So with that, I'll hand back to Martin.
Let's put some more color on how we are dealing with the reduced demand. Umicore continues to adjust its footprint and cost base to the market demand, and in doing so, we take account of the very specific situation of every business unit. That means that the business unit that was particularly affected was the business unit Precious Metal Products and Catalyst. Also, as Tim already mentioned, Element 6 Abrasives, which is in the tool industry, is implementing far-reaching restructuring programs in order to restore profitability. The adjustments have translated in a decrease in workforce of over 500 people in the fully consolidated companies, a figure that does not yet include some of the more recently announced restructurings and that are in the process of being implemented in the next couple of months. Where possible and sensible, we continue to use temporary measures, but as I said before, that is not always possible. Also, working capital management has been a very important part of the way we have been dealing with this reduced demand. These restructurings have given rise to non-recurring charges of about 17 million euro, which were partially offset by the reversal of impairment of inventories, which we had taken previously. As I mentioned earlier, all this has driven very, very strong cash flows, driven by important reductions in working capital, which is basically confirming what we had already said in April. The working capital reduction was due to a combined decrease of business, but also a very conscious effort of dealing with the working capital. Cash flow before financing was in excess of 180 million. That is after capital expenditures of 100 million and after R&D expenses of 68 million euro. After paying out the financial charges and the annual dividend of 74 million euro, the net operating cash flow remained positive at 90 million euro. This led to a decrease in net debt to a level of 239 million euro at the end of June, which corresponds to a very modest gearing ratio of debt on debt plus equity of 15%. In other words, our balance sheet is extremely strong. When we look at our gross debt, we see that the interest expense has been reduced materially due to this decrease in debt, but also that the vast majority of our debt doesn't fall due until 2011, which provides us quite a degree of comfort to proceed with our investments, our R&D efforts, and looking around at potential acquisitions. When we look at our investments, some of the major investments that took place in the first half of the year were the new factories for new battery materials in Korea and China, where the continuation of the plant in the U.S. for germanium substrate, which will be done by the end of the year, an improvement of our test center for automotive catalysts in Germany, and a new jewelry and recycling plant in China. Also, the R&D efforts continued. We are running at the same type of level for R&D expenses than we were last year. Of course, we are, in these times, very careful with the selection of our R&D projects and also trying to improve, also in this area, the efficiency of the R&D research. Conclusions. I would say that while our results are clearly below the first half of 2008, in view of the unprecedented economic downturn, we are doing well in the circumstances. Our teams are responding efficiently to this unprecedented downturn and are adjusting capacities to the reduced demand. We have maintained, if not strengthened, our position in the different key businesses we are in. Last but not least, we have a sound financial position to continue our investment in the future, as well in R&D as in investments. I will open it to questions now. We will have very few questions in the room, I believe, because I think the presence of analysts in the room might have been influenced by the non-appearance of our star performer, our CEO. Let's start with questions in the room. No? Okay. I'll open it to questions on the phone then.
Okay. For the ladies and gentlemen on the audio conference, if you would like to ask a question, please press the code 01 on your telephone keypad. You will enter a queue. When your name is announced, you can ask your question. The first question is from Alan Kemeny, calling from Casanova. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi, Martin, Thomas. Just two questions from my end. On your net provisioning, I see that on a net basis, you released about 8 million of provisions So is the underlying REBIT figure actually closer to 40 million for the first half and not the 50 million you've shown? And my second question is looking at your performance in your PMP&C division. Return on capital employed there dropped from 18.6% to negative 2.3%. Yet EBIT margins on a recurring basis still stayed in positive territory, which implies that asset utilization went into negative territory. Now, since your assets are positive, am I right in assuming that on the margin you were paying clients to take product off you? Or is the ROCE that you calculate actually on a, not on a REBIT? It's based on actually the actual reported EBIT. Thanks.
I'm a bit confused on the taking back of the provision, so we will have to come back to you. We have taken back no material, we've taken no material provisions, except clearly, you know, there are always movements on the environmental provisions. So I believe out of the 8 million, 6 million were environmental provisions, which were taken back, yes. But that's a continuous evolution of reassessing the way we are dealing with some of our environmental legacies.
So you had that last year as well?
The-
What?
Other question, I mean, I'm not... Could you maybe clarify that one a bit? Because I didn't quite get your
Yes.
Your point.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry. I mean, basically, the return on capital employed, which you calculate on a reported basis, I think this is on page 33 of your presentation, of your press release. It was 18.6% last year. And your REBIT or your REBIT margin was 14.8%. Now, that's dropped to 0.2%, but it's still positive. But your ROCE that you've presented there is negative, which means that asset utilization has gone into negative territory. But your assets, the actual value is obviously positive, which means you are either paying clients to take product off your, on the margin, to take product from your shop floor or from your production floor, or is it just that that return on capital employed figure that you've presented there is not based on a recurring EBIT, but it's actually based on an actual EBIT? Just wanted to... It has to be either one of the two things, so I just wanted to know which one it is.
I'm sorry, Karan, did you mean-
Yeah.
It's for Precious Metals Products and Catalysts? Is that correct?
Yes, sorry, yes. Just for the PMP division, the Precious Metals Products and Catalysts division.
So if I get it right, the fact that our margin is upward by our return on capital employed is below zero, that makes you assume that we actually paid customers to take material from us?
Well, no, as bizarre as that sounds, either that's the explanation or the second explanation is that your return on capital employed there is actually not based on your recurring EBIT. I mean, is that the case? Is there a different EBIT?
No, I mean, it is based, the return on capital employed is based on the recurrent EBIT. The only thing is, I mean, we are clearly in a loss-making position in that business unit group, and that has to do with the fact that we are continuing to invest in R&D, and that clearly, at the lower volumes, we are not recovering all of our overheads. I mean, that's why the major restructuring exercises are going on and have taken place in this business group, Precious Metals Products and Catalysts, to bring our capacity in line with the demand.
Sure. Sure, Martin. Well, thank you very much. That makes sense. Thanks.
We'll move on to the next question. It's from Martin Evans, calling from Casanova as well. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's sort of following on the return on capital employed theme, which, I hear what you say about the difficult market conditions, and equally, I think you referred to your far-reaching, restructuring measures that are underway, and yet the group, return on capital collapsed to 5% from 22%. And I'm just wondering, I mean, how far-reaching these, cost elimination programs are, and whether, in fact, they are working. And then just moving on from that, I guess, are there any parts of the group that, given this sort of general collapse, you consider are still core, moving beyond this current recession? Thanks.
So the restructuring efforts that we've done, especially in Precious Metals Products and Catalysts Group, I mean, they have been happening in the first half, and their effect will really only be seen in the second half. And the reason why that take some time is because it needs to be very carefully planned. We get authorizations to produce products in certain plants. Moving products around is not always easy, so restructuring efforts are not always as straightforward to do in a very fast manner. But you will see, and that's one of the things I've indicated about the outlook, is that part of what we have calculated into the outlook for this product group is less a recovery of the volumes, but more the full effect of these restructurings. So you will see them in second half.
So on that basis, you're saying that all things being equal, the return on capital should begin to improve in the second half, although seasonally the summer is much weaker. Is that the case?
Yes, indeed.
Thanks.
And the next question is from Neil Tyler, calling from JP Morgan. Your line is open, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Couple of questions, really, both on your outlook on inventories. Firstly, in the cobalt and specialty materials business, you make the comment in the statement that destocking has ended. I just wondered if you could just talk a little bit about how you monitor that and the customer inventories and how you judge, you know, sufficiently to be able to make that comment. And equally, on the your comment on the excess inventories in the U.S., you know, you've made comments in the past regarding the fact that it could take a year to destock. I wonder if you could just sort of provide us with your fundamental assumptions on sales, particularly in that market, that leads you to that conclusion. Thank you.
So the visibility on the inventories at suppliers for cobalt and specialty materials, in particular the rechargeable batteries, is limited. I mean, only the thing we have to go on is the orders that are being placed. But the Korean customers we have don't really give us full visibility on their inventories. But depending on what they order, we have a fairly good idea of where they have gone to the bottom of what they have. For the evolution of the car inventories, I will hand over to Tim.
Yeah, in the certainly in the U.S., where it's probably the easiest region to get a view on this, I think the inventories there have shown that they have come down since the end of June 2008. By about 1 million units, I think, from about 3 million to 2 million units. But our view is that this is very much driven by plant closures and production shutdowns rather than any uptick in sales. One metric which is worth looking at perhaps is the day's sales ratio of inventory to sales, and that stayed relatively stable at between 64 to 65 days as far as I'm aware. So that shows you that the underlying demand isn't really picking up at all, and that it's the temporary shutdowns at the US producers which is driving it. So I think overall for the full year we still stand by our previous statement that we don't expect inventory levels to return to normal before the end of 2009.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very clear.
The next question is coming from Andrew Stock, calling from Merrill Lynch. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning. Martin, I just wondered if you could detail more the restructuring benefits. So I think the message is that there'll be more in the second half than the first, but could you actually put some numbers on that? That's the first question. Second question, can I just check, going back to your comments, Tim, just now, on autos, within your guidance of EBIT similar to the first half in the second half, can I check that your assumption is that auto production will be similar to the first half globally? Thank you.
So about the restructuring, I don't want to venture in very detailed numbers about the restructuring impact. But it's quite clear that our aim is to bring the precious metal product and catalyst group to a break-even situation and to align our production levels with the demand levels. So that should give you some ideas of where we're headed there. And then for the cars, I will go back to Tim again.
Yeah, I think implicitly, I think we mentioned that a number of industry analysts are looking at car production in excess of 50 million, so 53, 54 million for the full year. I think overall we're not convinced that we're likely to see those numbers. You know, we remain open to be positively surprised, but our current view is that it's unlikely to be above 50 million.
Okay, and sorry, just while I'm on, PM services, is there any way you could quantify the impact of the lower prices in the contract structures for the second half?
Well, I think as Martin said, I mean, overall, if you look at the full year forecast of being both halves being relatively equal, what we're likely to see is an improvement in precious metals products and catalysts going from a loss-making situation towards a break-even situation by the end of the year, some decent improvements in advanced materials, and then the bulk of that being offset by precious metal services and to a lesser extent the seasonality that we're seeing in or will see in zinc specialties.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Sophie Jourier calling from Citi. Your line is open.
Yes, morning. Just one clarification on the precious metal products and catalysts. So just you said it was in loss making in the first quarter. Can I just clarify it remained in loss in the second quarter? That's the first question. The second question, just on the cash flow, obviously very strong in the first half. Could you just give us an idea of the key factors in the second half, i.e., you know, capex guidance, what you think on working capital, any other key points? And then finally, just on the tax rate, very low in the first half, just what are you expecting for the second half?
Let me first answer the question on the cash flow. I mean, we are expecting the cash flow to remain positive for the second half, so we would have a positive cash flow for the full year, and that is in our current assumptions. Of course, if business would pick up materially, you see that our business is very flexible in dealing. The working capital follows the business levels, which I think is a strength of our business. Of course, if the business would pick up, clearly the impact on working capital would be important. So that's one of the things that we have to keep in mind and that we are managing very carefully. The way we are addressing the working capital is by putting extreme focus on making sure that as far as possible credit terms are respected and are not extended, and except for a few exceptions, we've been pretty lucky in being able to maintain that level. And the other area that clearly we're working on very much is on the control of inventory and to make sure that the processes are such that we really keep our inventories to a very low level.
Tax rate?
Any further questions, Mrs. Jourier?
Just wondering on the tax rate and just the autocatalysts, just whether that was still in loss in this second quarter.
Yeah, Sophie, just on the autocats, obviously we don't break that one out as a specific sub-segment, but if you look at precious metals, products and catalysts, very much the major part of the impact would have been in the first part of the year, moving back to a closer to break-even performance in the second part of the half. And obviously we're expecting things to get better in the second half, hopefully to offset that loss. Martin on the tax rate.
You see a quite a bit lower tax rate, and basically that has to do with the geographical spread of our revenues. And in this case, the areas where we are not making the kind of profits that we used to are the ones that are high tax countries, and in Asia where we still have major tax holidays, we are making more money. So that's And I expect that trend really to continue for the rest of the year based on our current forecast.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
The next question is from Mark van der Geest calling from Fortis Bank Netherlands. Your line is open.
Good morning. I've got two simple questions. First, could you elaborate a little bit on the trends that you see in the supply for your precious metal services division coming from the electronic scrap, from AutoCATs? What are the trends you see there going into the second half? Second, on AutoCATs, could you give some color on the benefits you saw from the auto scrap programs, and maybe can you also update us a bit on the heavy-duty diesel market? Thank you very much.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Just in terms of the trends of supply, I think overall, if you look at the supply picture for precious metal services, it's always difficult to look at volumes on their own in that business because there are a number of different drivers. But if we look at volumes on their own there, we can see that overall arrivals of material were down by about 15%, with a differing picture for different supply streams. E-scrap and industrial catalysts were relatively stable. If we look at in industrial residues, so from the zinc, copper, and lead refining sector, and the precious metals refiners, that was down, and looks like it's going to be even more down in the second half. Spent automotive catalysts were already, as we said, down at the second half of last year, and in the first half of this year, down 60% roughly compared with the first half of 2008.
60%.
So that gives you an idea in terms of the trend of supply. In terms of the automotive catalyst segment, I don't think we're really seeing any telling impact of the incentive schemes. I think that is helping to draw down a certain level of inventory, but it isn't really percolating through that much into the production rates at the moment.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we move on to the next question, which is coming from Arnaud Hossens, calling from ING. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. A couple of questions. First of all, regarding precious metal services, so you're expecting a reduced, let's say, impact from the on pricing. So let's say a fading out of your hedging policy. Is that something that you were expecting? I mean, is that unexpected, or were you expecting that from the beginning to fade out so quickly? That's the first question. Secondly, advanced materials, you were break even in the first half. Looking back, I mean, if we exclude, let's say, the associates, I've never seen such a low level of profitability for advanced materials, even with a lower level of turnover in the past. Can you give some reasons why it was so weak, and were there any specials in the recurring EBIT that would explain such weakness? Finally, can you give us also an update on the expansion of capacity in germanium substrates planned for 2010, whether that's on track, and what impact that could have on your outlook for 2010 in that business of germanium. Thank you.
Tim will take the part of the questions, and Geoff will take the others.
Yeah, good morning, Arno. I think on the reduced levels of pricing coverage, I think that was, it's normal, it's not like a steady state refining operation where that kind of pricing cover is evenly spread. It's very much linked with specific contracts, and as we covered over a period of time, it was it's normal that rolls off gradually. And you know, we said that before that it would be rolling off gradually through 2009 and into 2010. So that was expected.
And then, so there's no impact from lower volume. So let's say a mismatch between your hedge and your physical deliveries.
No.
Then I know on advanced materials, I mean, the largest business unit in there is cobalt and specialty materials, which is exposed to the sectors of the electronics industry, the construction industry, which are affected, industries which are well affected similarly as the automotive industry. And as that's the biggest business unit, you obviously will have the same kind of effects in that unit. The only difference is there was a business unit which is electronic materials, which did much better.
And given the results or the weakness, do you expect any severe restructuring there, or is the restructuring more focused on the catalyst business?
No, we have restructuring in a number of businesses there as well. The difference is, for example, with rechargeable batteries, there we at least see some uplift in the market, though not at the same circumstances as last year. So not necessarily does it happen in every unit, but the ones that are most affected by it, yes, that happens. And some temporary measures are taken as well where we can.
Okay, thank you.
And okay.
And for the germanium capacity increase?
For Quapau, yes, there the project is ongoing, and normally the plant should be operational in the beginning of 2010.
So, and what kind of impact would you expect? So that's a plant which will produce germanium substrates mainly for terrestrial, or is it a mix of terrestrial and satellite? And I mean, how could we? What kind of impact would it have on results going forward?
the product that we produce is not really different if it goes for terrestrial applications or if it goes for space applications. So to us, it doesn't matter too much from a production plant point of view. I mean, we'll just see how the market evolves. There is still good prospects for the satellite industry, but there is that emerging LED and emerging terrestrial concentrated photovoltaic sector, and we will be able to play a role in there.
And do you expect demand to be strong enough to absorb the increased capacity?
Sorry, who will be strong enough?
Demand for the product. Will it be strong enough to take on the increased capacity?
Well, we didn't say that we will be operating at full capacity in the beginning of 2010. This is something that will happen gradually, but we saw that it was necessary to increase the capacity.
And let's say over the year, or let's say by the end of the year, how much capacity do you expect to be? At what rate would you expect to be running at?
We don't know that. I mean, the market is as it presents itself at this moment in time. We were working on in one plant, and the market is doing well.
We don't see in the market for satellite applications, we don't see any weakening of the market. And I mean, when we made the decision to build this plant, it was based on, you know, us really reaching the top of our capacity without being to satisfy all the demand. From anything we read of analysts in this area of satellite applications, I mean, they still see growth in that market in the coming years. So I'm quite optimistic that we made the right decision there. Also, it was quite important to put the production close to where our customers were. Most of the customers in that business are in the U.S., and it also helps us to get a more natural hedge in our manufacturing.
Okay. Just one last question, if I may, regarding something that Tim said earlier. Do you expect break-even in PMPNC in the second half of 2009, or did he mention it break-even in the second quarter of 2009? I didn't get that very clearly.
No.
And so the second half.
Okay. So you expect break-even in second half 2009 for PMPNC?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And the next question is from Rimbanani calling from Exane. Your line is open.
Good morning, Martin, Tim. I have actually three questions. The first one, you've started actually to do that for PMS. If you can just run us through, give us a little bit more color on impact of volume versus prices. I mean, where prices by subdivision, advanced material, PMPC, think specialties, have prices been holding, falling, and versus volumes? And the second question is on the seasonally weaker zinc specialties. From what I've understood, there's rather, a stabilization of end markets there. Don't you expect, customers to be restocking and that to benefit in H2? And the third question, can you give us a little bit more color as well on closures from your OEMs during the summer? I mean, the message hasn't been very clear to me. Is there, longer closures than usual or shorter closures? Thank you.
Let me take the last one. First, you're talking about OEMs in the car industry.
Yes.
I think it's more general. The volumes of production are relatively low. I mean, they have reached what we think is a bottom, but they have not materially picked up yet. I don't see, at this point in time, longer than expected summer closures there, but just a lower volume. And that obviously drives our sales. What I do expect is that in the month of December, which they usually do, there will be probably longer closures in the car industry.
Okay. And on the volume versus price by subunit?
Yeah, maybe on the volumes versus price. I think obviously the major impact in the first half is obviously a volume story. If you look at product pricing, I don't think we see any real issues there or any real changes. It's mainly a volume issue. One caveat to that, though, if you look at the metal price environment, if you compare the metal price environment between 2008 and 2009 first half, we're obviously well below the levels that we saw in 2008. And obviously, in general terms, the metal price tends to have a positive impact on Umicore. So if you look at pricing in that context, then yes, the pricing is lower, obviously.
I think when we look at zinc specialties, what we see there is that in the construction business, the summer months are always very slow, and so is the month of December. So that's what we are meaning by the seasonal impacts that are affecting that business.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, the next question is from Tom Ackermans calling from Kempen & Co. The line is open.
Yes, good morning. Two questions, please. First of all, on the PMS division, I'm just trying to understand the lag effect in the supply environment you're seeing there. I mean, assuming that we'll at some point see production restarts in zinc and copper and lead coming through, how much of a lag will there be in you seeing that coming through the P&L in the PMS? And secondly, if you could give us some color on the auto catalyst, how much of an impact do you see from consumers shifting to smaller cars, or how much do you expect to see once production picks up?
Maybe if I can take the second one on the autocats. Obviously, the smaller the vehicle in general for a catalyst producer, the less value add. But as I mentioned before, obviously most of the sales that we're seeing of those kind of vehicles are helping to reduce inventory, so we're not really feeling the mix effect so much at the moment. But obviously going forward, if that phenomenon is to stay with us with a switch to smaller engines, in terms of a mix, that is somewhat can be somewhat negative. Obviously, another trend that we're seeing at the moment is an increased move towards electrified vehicles, where we're positioned in terms of hybrid, certainly in terms of the catalysts, and also positioning ourselves for the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
You should remember as well that the catalysts for hybrid vehicles tend to need to be slightly more complex than you would normally expect in a similar vehicle with similar engine displacement. So that's a bit of a mixed picture.
Okay.
On the PMS lag, I think there on the PMS lag, I think it's difficult because it varies from contract to contract, and in terms of what priority we put on what different supply streams. I think the comments that we made in terms of the materials that we'd received in the fourth quarter of last year impacting positively our first quarter results in PMS gives you some kind of guidance in terms of overall impact of the supply lag, so from one quarter to the next.
Okay, maybe for a bit more clarification, if you're saying that you see seeing copper lead deteriorating further in the second half, is that because you will see the impact in the P&L, or is that because supply is still worsening? So meaning that we would continue to see this in Q4, perhaps even Q1 2010?
Yeah, I think the supply is still not looking particularly good and is indeed deteriorating, so you will indeed have that lag. So even if there was some pickup in production mm-hmm. towards the end of this year in the copper, zinc and lead sectors, you would normally expect to see some run through into 2010, but that's too early to talk about that yet.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful.
The next question is from Laurent Favre calling from UBS. Your line is open.
Good morning, Martin. Good morning, team. I've got two questions on AutoCAD, and it's really on Asia. The first one is on associates. You had a big loss in the first half of this year, big profit in the second half of last year, and if I remember correctly, we had some funny items in that second half number. So how should we be thinking about that line into the second half of 2009? Do you know of any funny items that we should be aware of, or is it just trade performance from the auto catalyst associates? And the second line, the second question to stay in Asia is actually on China. Tim, you seem to be a bit cautious on the market views on global car production for this year, and I'm just wondering what's your take on China and Chinese production that we've seen so far, and that we might be seeing in the next 12 months. Thank you.
Bonjour Laurent. On the associate in Asia, we had indicated that last year there were some kind of more non-exceptional events that actually boosted the result a little bit last year. I mean, if the figure that you see today is basically our operations in Japan and in Korea, and as you know, these markets were well down compared to the first half of last year, so that effect is also felt in these activities. For 2009, it's difficult to predict. I mean, we will have to see how the market evolves in Japan and Korea, and that will greatly influence what the result of the associates are going to be. Plus, of course, there are a number of restructuring measures which should alleviate that effect.
So it's just the performance of the businesses. There are no other funny items in there for the second half.
Sorry, can you repeat that question?
In the line of joint ventures, I'm just saying there are no other funny items for the second half of this year. It's just the performance in Korea and Japan?
Not really, no. There's also our fuel cell activities which report in there.
Okay, of course. That's small. Thanks.
On the Chinese picture, obviously, compared with the rest of the world, like everyone else, it's a more optimistic picture. I don't think in terms of global production we see ourselves as being prudent. I think what we're saying is we're realistic based on what we're seeing in the market today. For China, obviously up by 11% in production terms, but what we should be careful of is obviously the sales have been boosted to a certain extent and production by tax rebates. So I think we have to see and be careful once or if those roll off what the underlying picture would be.
Thank you.
And then we have a follow-up question from Neil Tyler calling from JP Morgan. Your line is open, sir. Mr. Tyler?
Sorry, I had a mute on. Just wanted to go back to the point you were making on the mix effect in the catalyst business that you say you haven't seen much yet. Could you just talk a little bit about how you view that on a sort of 2 or 3 year view in terms of the increasing complexity of engines, lean burn engines and the like, at the lower end of the capacity scale? And you mentioned hybrid engines being perhaps more valuable for yourselves from a catalyst perspective, but what other trends there are that could potentially offset the mix effect? Thank you.
I think in terms of trends to offset any mix effect, obviously we still have quite a way to go in terms of legislative developments, both hopefully on the light duty side as well as the heavy duty side. So that's certainly the area where any offsetting would take place, is making the automotive emission standards more stringent. In terms of the mix effect going forward, obviously if there is a trend for people to be to either prefer or be incentivized to buy smaller vehicles, obviously that would mean a trend to more to vehicles with a smaller engine displacement, which require smaller catalysts. Offset against that, as I mentioned before, is the hybrid and other electrified vehicles, where we are probably uniquely positioned with an offering in both the catalyst side and developing an offering also on the lithium-ion battery side for power applications and also for hybrid and other electrified vehicles.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim.
Okay, the next question is from Andrew Stock, calling from Merrill Lynch. Your line is open, sir.
Oh, it's a very quick one, actually. CapEx, I just wondered if you could just run me through your thoughts on CapEx this year and next. Thanks.
What's your question, the CapEx forecast for this year?
Yeah, please.
I think that CapEx for the full year should remain pretty much at the same level, maybe a little bit lower than the first half, but we have some major projects to complete. So I would aim for anywhere between 180 and 200 million for the year.
Okay, and something similar for 2010?
Difficult to say. Will really depend on the projects we want to take on and the progress we make in some of our development projects. So I wouldn't venture on that. But as I said last year, the 200 million is a relatively high level, unless of course there is CapEx involved in new projects.
And sorry, just one other thing. Could you remind me how big China is for your AutoCats sales?
Andrew, as you know, we don't break down the sales by region in terms of our subdivisions, but we are we're a leading player in, or the leading player in China, and overall we're roughly evenly distributed in geographical terms relative to the geographical production of vehicles. I think that's the best and only guidance I can give.
Okay, that's useful. Thanks.
The next question is from Mark De Brouwer, calling from Peter Cam. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, Martin. Good morning, Tim. I have two small questions. First of all, could you clarify the lack in PMS with a simple example? Umicore suffered the most from lower residues from smelter. If Baarle restarts in December, how long would it take before getting a normal flow of supplies? Second question regarding the particulate filters. Do you expect, so things are still picking up by 2011, but do you expect a marginal impact this year with the bulk of the impact in 2010?
Maybe, Mark, I can take your question on the particulate filters. Obviously, in terms of the way things are going, the way the legislation's heading and the introduction of the filters, there are more and more percentage of diesel vehicles being fitted with diesel particulate filters as we go through this year, and it will continue to be the case next year. One thing that is worth noting is that diesel vehicles in Europe, and Europe is the main market for diesel vehicles, made up a slightly lower percentage of overall production in the first half. I think that was driven to a certain extent by the incentive schemes that are being offered by government, which are pushing people more to buy the micro-sized gasoline-powered vehicles. But the underlying trend, I think, is very much the same as before.
Okay, so things are moving gradually with no special concentration, a large pickup in 2010?
No, I think we'd said before we'd expected a gradual introduction and no big step change in 1 year or another.
Okay. And regarding the PMS question?
I think there, obviously, the main area, one of the main areas is obviously the byproducts from the zinc, lead and copper industries, and also the precious metals refiners. But don't forget, it's also very much linked to the specific contracts we have with specific refiners and smelters. So it's not that straightforward to just take the overall production picture and apply it to Umicore. As well, we have other supplies, some of which are being very heavily impacted, so the supplies of spent automotive catalysts being the most obvious there, with, as I mentioned, supplies down by 60% in the first half.
Okay. But you didn't want to be specific on the impact of a restart of Baarle?
If you take that as a general picture, I mean, obviously, if the world's copper, zinc, and lead smelters start increasing their output and the PGM producers, then in general terms, that's beneficial for us. But obviously, you have to look at it on a customer by customer basis and what contracts we're able to secure from a decaptivating point of view.
Thank you.
The next question is from Sophie Jourier, calling from Citi. Your line is open.
If you're right in your guidance, your EPS is going to fall beneath the dividend you paid last year, but obviously your cash flow is very strong and you've got a strong balance sheet. Just wondered whether you could remind us of your dividend policy and whether you would try to keep a dividend flat in the light of EPS probably falling beneath the dividend level. Thanks.
But as you know, our dividend policy is talking about a stable or growing dividend. The only caveat, of course, that I would put to it is that, you know, if that is the best use of the money for the corporation and it doesn't bring the company in any danger of coming into a zone of not enough cash flow. So it's a bit early to tell, and as you know, I mean, it's in the end, it's a decision that will be taken by the board of directors in the beginning of next year. But there's nothing that indicates that our dividend would be a payout ratio in the next year.
Perfect. Thank you.
And that was the last question in the other conference.
Okay, let me thank you for your questions and looking forward to seeing you in or hearing you in September to or in October for the September results to be able to give you some clearer views of where we are headed for the rest of the year. Thank you for your attention. Bye-bye.